I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you feel like you've sort of hit a plateau in your faith journey, you've lost a sense of holy expectancy about what God has up His sleeve, not only for you, but for those you love and for your nation, your city, if you've kind of gotten stuck of just sort of every day mundane faith, you have come to the right place today. My guest says this: you are meant to receive the abundance God promises here and now. You're not meant to wait until heaven to experience what He has. Even in the midst of our broken world's traumas and trials, you can learn to lower the volume of life and truly hear from God. You can discover how to pray His promises instead of praying over your problems. I love that. Carlos Whitaker joins me again today. I've had him on a handful of times in the past. It's been way too long because he's just will ignite your faith and kind of shoot some adrenaline right into your soul. We're talking about his book again today, Enter Wild: Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. Hey, he speaks like he writes, and he writes like he speaks. We've got 5 copies to give away today. So if you need just your faith ignited, why don't you enter the drawing? You text the word book to 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. A couple quick announcements. A lot of you know it's been a long healing journey for me with Lyme disease and some mold toxicity stuff. It's been brutal. It's been hard, but God's been good. So next week, I'm going to be in Texas for a 3-day surgery. I'm going to be there for almost 5 days. Long story, but I've pre-recorded almost all the shows for next week, so it's all new material. But I'm just wondering if you'd be praying for me. I fly out Monday night. I record 2 TV shows on Tuesday. Wednesday, day one, I get an IV and a CT scan of my jaw and my head. And then Thursday, they do this oral surgery for 3 hours, and it's pretty extensive. And they believe that Lyme has settled into the jaw. And so pull teeth and clean out the infection, whatever. And then the third day, IV and acupressure, and then we fly home. And it's supposed to be really hard. And I'm praying, my producers prayed that it would be a blip, that I would heal exceedingly fast. And I'm nervous about it. I'm just wondering if you would hold me in your prayers. And we'll talk the week after next. So another quick announcement, our theme this month is forgiveness. And we've got so many amazing resources on our website. If you're struggling to forgive, hop on our website after the show. I don't want you to miss today's show, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Carlos Whitaker is an author, speaker, worship leader, and self-professed hope dealer. Don't you love that? He speaks at some of the largest churches in the country and at conferences, including Orange, Catalyst, and others, a People's Choice Award winner, and a host of popular podcasts. He's also the author of Moment Maker and Kill the Spider. He lives with his wife, Heather, and their 3 children in Nashville. And Carlos, I'm not going to let as much time pass next time we have you on. Good to have you.
It's so good to be back, Susie.
Looking forward to the conversation. And you know, we love to start just making it personal, wondering what the Lord's been talking to you about these days.
Yeah, gosh, thanks for asking that question. I really feel like the Lord is being very specific with my my reliance on the conversational intimacy that I have with Him, as opposed to the easy access that I have to the answers of the world. You know, as more and more of us kind of come out of these last 2.5 years of, you know, really trauma, I've realized that it's, you know, it's so easy for us whenever we come out of a traumatic season to go to Google or go to friends or go to doctors or go to whoever it is, which is, they're all great. All those things are very helpful. But what I've really felt convicted by lately is the Lord is like, you know, why am I the last? Why am I the last one that you go to with all of these things? And I think it's because sometimes it's so easy for us to find quick answers and solutions outside of the realm of the supernatural, when the truth is, you know, that is what we need to be running to. And so I have, you know, in the last few weeks been running to the Lord with all of my issues first. And lo and behold, wouldn't you, you know, be surprised that sure enough, I feel like almost all of them are being settled and healed through that, as opposed to me trying to roll up my sleeves and do it myself. So I'm just so grateful for the Lord's whispering and prompting to just come back to him these last few weeks.
So good, Carlos. And it is so our default to just do what we can, you know, to just run to quick temporary solutions, and but seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. All right. In the book, you ask and you answer this question: is God's promise of life to the full actually real? Is his promise of abundant life an actual thing? Is his presence actually something we can tangibly enjoy on a daily basis? I love this. You said the simple answer is yes. The more complicated answer is also yes. Say what you mean there.
Well, you know, I think that the accumulation of event after event after event, you know, in our lives that may be traumatic begins to erode our confidence in the truth that he means for us to be good, and he means for us to be well, and he means for us to be healed, and he means for us to have life to the full. And, you know, just the realities of life have a way of chipping away at those things. But, you know, when I say that, and when I wrote that, I just want everybody to know that life to the full can exist inside of pain-filled moments. You know, you just so eloquently and authentically shared with us, you know, a vulnerable season that you're in right now. You're asking for prayer, and what the Lord is you know, saying in John 10:10 is that, you know, Susie, even when you go next week for your procedures, even when there's pain and there's suffering and all these things, you can still, and we can still have life to the full inside of all those things. And so that is what I'm talking about. That's why I said the more complicated answer is also yes, because I don't want people to think that life with abundance just looks like I'm completely healthy, I've got a lot of savings, and I've got a vacation home, because that's not what it means. If that's what it meant, then all of our friends in third world countries that love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and minds would not have access to experience abundance. So obviously that's not what abundance and life to the full means. So what does it mean? It means that Zoe, that spirit-filled life, that understanding and peace that passes all understanding, that when you're in the midst of crisis or trauma or whatever it may be, you can still in those seasons feel fully alive and fully abundant with the Lord.
And that really is something that takes cultivating in our lives, because if we have a practice of defaulting to the solutions we can see, if our practice is relief and not redemption, I just want a break instead of a breakthrough, then when the storms hit, that's our default. We'll start grabbing, and they'll fail us, and we may have a temporary moment of panic. But when we cultivate a lifestyle of relying on the Lord, depending on him, seeking his face, we're building our life on the rock. So when the storms come, we'll be still standing after, right?
Yes, that is so good. It's so true, you know? And I love how you said that, you know, like we're not looking for temporary relief. You know, we have such an availability to find breakthrough. And I know, you know, I know it's hard to believe that when it's turbulent, which is why, just like you said, we've got to be building this and practicing this in seasons of comfort. Don't just wait until your world is flipped upside down to be like, okay, now's the time I'm going to try to figure this out. Now's the time I'm going to try to hear from God. Now's the time I'm going to, excuse me, start begging, because of course he will answer. Of course he will provide, but it's us, and it's the way that we run, and it's the way that we approach him that is the thing that needs to be exercised and practiced and rehearsed. And so, yeah, I agree. That's why we need to do it when times are good and when times are bad.
How much of a role does gratitude play into a life of an abundance?
Oh, you know, I feel like, I mean, there's that song called Gratitude by Brandon Lake. Mm-hmm. And it is to live a life of gratitude means not that you're, again, I want to keep, you know, hammering this in. That doesn't mean that there are things that happen to you that you have to be grateful for everything, right? Like, I'm not saying that, oh my gosh, we have you know someone with a cancer diagnosis, that you just suddenly have to be like, I'm so grateful for the cancer diagnosis. That's not what living a life of gratitude is. The gratitude comes in that in spite of the diagnosis, I have and serve and believe in a God who can fully heal me if that is what he wants to do here. And so that's what we have gratitude for, you know, and also I believe that prayer and thanksgiving, okay, thanksgiving is literally a weapon of warfare. It says in scripture, there's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies, but my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. Like, thanksgiving is literally a weapon of warfare. When you're gracious and when you have gratitude to the Lord for the gifts that he's given you every single day, you're going to begin to see the enemy tremble. And so I do it every day. I put on my favorite worship song and I take my journal out and I just start thanking God for things that he's done in my life. I praise him for who he is and I thank him for what he's done. And it really has changed everything for me.
Praise him for who he is, and I thank him for what he's done. It changes our physiology. It changes our perspective. And suddenly your eyes open up to the abundance that's all around you. When we come back, I want you to tell the story of your daughter and her healing process. In fact, when you were on before, there, if I remember right, it was still in process, but I think you have an update. So for those who didn't hear that story, you'll have to give us the full scoop on your daughter. Talking to Carlos Whitaker, his book, he's a best-selling author of the book, Kill the Spider. And I've been meaning to want to talk to you about that. Last time we talked about this one, we still got to do that. Hit this book we're talking about today, Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Carlos Whitaker. He's an author, speaker. He's a husband and a father and a minister of the gospel. We're talking about his book, Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. And what I love about your message on the abundant life is you don't shrink back from the painful parts of our story, because it's in those places where we experience supernatural peace and gratitude and joy, because it proves that we are made for another world. And in the story, in the book, you talk about the story of your daughter. Tell us, give us backstory on what her struggle has been and what God's been doing.
Yeah. So my daughter, gosh, I guess that was 2019, was experiencing some chest pain. She was 17 years old and she just started working out. So we thought, oh, okay. I mean, maybe, you know, she just said it was almost sore for a couple of days. And we ended up going on a trip to New York City, and then she developed a fever, and then the pain got even more severe. So we flew home because we didn't want to go to a hospital in New York City. So we flew back to Nashville after talking to her doctor. And she went to the doctor and they did a scan. And they're like, well, your lungs look okay. Maybe you've got a little bit of a lung infection. We'll give you some antibiotics. Well, long story short, we ended up rushing her to the hospital two nights later in massive pain, and ended up staying in Vanderbilt University Medical Center for, oh gosh, I think it was a month that we were there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so we were there for a month, and the, you know, Susie, the first few days, I'll never forget, the doctors came in after doing a scan and they said, hey, we found two small masses in her lungs. And we believe that she's got lung cancer, a lymphoma. Mm. And so, you know, my whole world stopped in that moment when we've got a diagnosis of cancer, my daughter, and we're, you know, beginning to do, you know, get ready for chemotherapy and all the things. And then, you know, just praying as hard, you know, the only thing I knew to do was to pray the promise. Like, I know that God hears us with the problems. And yes, I threw up many prayers of God, please, I don't want her to have cancer, all the things. But then I began to just declare victory over her life and healing over her life. And if she had cancer in her body, I was declaring that it would leave, all the things. And sure enough, you know, 4 days later, maybe it was 2 days later. It was 2 days later. It's been a minute now. But the doctors came back. They did another scan and they're like, well, it's weird. The masses look different now. And they actually have air inside of them. And we've never seen a cancerous mass in someone's lungs with air in it. So actually we think it's an infection and not cancer. So that was a huge, you know, exhale for us, but we weren't out of the woods yet. Her pain was getting worse. Her symptoms were getting worse. The antibiotics weren't working. Come to find out, she ended up being diagnosed with it's a fungus that was growing in her lungs called histoplasmosis. And it's you get it from being outdoors, from birds and bats you can get it from, but it ends up in your lungs. And for her, you know, it started to grow, and that's what the pain was. And so after, you know, they had to do surgery to like get all the fluid out of her lungs, all the things, we slowly but surely made our way home. But, you know, she went from a very active girl to, you know, she couldn't even walk to the mailbox. And here she was 17 years old in tears because she couldn't walk. And she, it hurt to laugh. It hurt to sing. It hurt to cry. Her lungs just hurt so bad. So we just began praying over her lungs. And, you know, the doctors are like, she's going to have scarring the rest of her life. She's probably not going to gain full function of her lungs again. They were giving us all of the facts, which I'm very appreciative of doctors knowing facts, right? Like, I've got doctors in my family. They're very good at knowing the facts. But what we kept telling Sohaila is, baby, these may be the medical facts, but it's actually not the truth of God's word. So with our like natural facts, we can say, okay, we're going to take these and then we're going to pray God's truth over the facts. And God's truth is that he wants you to be completely healed. So if that's his truth, let's hang on to God's truth as opposed to just staring at the facts. So we started to like lean into the truth, pray over her. And, you know, it wasn't an easy road. It took a lot of prayer, a lot of work on her part, but the celebration story is, and this is mind blowing to me. I decided early last year, I said, I'm going to run a half marathon. And so Hayla was like, Dad, can I run with you? You know, like up and down the street. So she ran like to the next door neighbor's mailbox the first day with me. Then she ran to the two mailboxes down the next day with me. And we were like crying, the whole family, that she ran 200 yards. We're like, look, the Lord is healing you. Well, long story long, I ended up hurting myself, my knee, about 8 weeks into training for this half marathon. Well, my daughter kept going and my wife kept training with her. And I want to let you know that November of 2021, Sohaila, after being diagnosed with histoplasmosis, ran a full marathon, the Nashville Marathon, in 5 hours and 2 minutes. And so God has completely healed her, and she's a runner now, and all the things that she was told she was never going to do again, now she does it. She runs 5 miles a day, and the Lord has healed her completely.
Wow. Praise God. That's amazing. There's details even of the story that I did not remember. That is amazing. You know, looking back at that up and down, twist and turn journey, I usually save this question for the end of the show, but I got to ask, what do you know about God now that you didn't know before this storm hit your house?
Yeah. You know, I know about God that I didn't know. Well, first and foremost, I used to struggle massively with anxiety and depression. That's a kill the spider story if I ever come back and talk about that book. But I used to struggle with it, and I used to maybe be nervous that it would rear its head in seasons of trials for me, because that's when it normally would. But through that whole season, like, my anxiety was at a zero. I had such massive peace. And that is, for anyone that knows me, that was the most supernatural thing that even happened, because I just lived such an anxious life. But there was such peace within that, you know, what I learned is that peace that does pass all understanding is true. And also, I know that peace, you know, a lot of people want their peace to be like a puddle, but scripture tells us that peace is like a river. And so understanding that peace is going to have waves. It's going to have, it's going to move here. It's going to move there. And to understand that peace is like a river, was another thing that, you know, was pretty mind blowing for me. So yeah, I think I just understand more about God's peace after that season.
That is so amazing. And even praying God's word. Next week, you guys are going to hear a show where we're talking about the healing power of God and the power of his word. But maybe speak to that person today who's listening, who goes back and forth between looking at their symptoms, at the facts, and even the doctor report, and then getting a little sense every once in a while, a flicker of hope that the Lord is like, but I do have a different plan for you. But but they find themselves vacillating back and forth. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, you know, I would just tell that person that, understand that, like, you're not broken, and this is not like you're weird and something's wrong with your faith, okay? We all have situations like that. You look at one of Jesus's best friends, Peter, a guy who he was with every single day for 3 years of his life, and every day Peter would look at Jesus and doubt him. And so like if Peter can walk with Jesus and doubt him every day, then of course we're going to doubt. And but all I would say is actually begin to practice praying the promises, right? I tell people all the time, don't pray the problems, pray the promises. And so this is a good practice. Like for whatever it is that you keep going back to, whatever pain point it is, open up scripture, find something that counteracts the belief that you have in the facts and start to speak those things over your life. If it's anxiety, if it's depression, which a lot of people are going through, a lot of people's prayers are, Lord, I'm so anxious. I'm so worried. I'm so depressed. I'm so overwhelmed. Well, I would say switch the prayers to scripture. I am the body of Christ and Satan has no power over me, for I overcome evil with good. I am of God and have overcome him, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. Your word in your spirit, they comfort me. I am far from oppression. Fear does not come near me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. Like even in me saying those, I have a lift in my spirit. Like I have a lift going like, wow, like I'm actually declaring the truth of God's scripture over my life. And I'm beginning to see the benefits of it. So that's what I would say to that person is counteract whatever it is that you keep focusing on with the facts. Counteract those with the truth of God's word, say them out loud, recite them out loud, and watch your faith begin to grow.
So good. And the way that you recited those, you could tell that's not your first rodeo. You've been doing this for a while. I love it so much. And you know, and I've said this plenty of times in the show, but it bears repeating. This is not positive thinking. This is the living, breathing, powerful word of God. And when you're making faith declarations, that in part is prayer. And the prayers of the righteous accomplish great and powerful things. There's something so powerful. And you know, about physiologically in our brains and then in our spirits and in our circumstances about saying, this might be the fact, but let me tell you what the truth is. We all need to get into the practice of doing that, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. We all do. And again, I like that you said practice because that's what it is. All those scriptures come off of my tongue so easily because I have practiced, because I am in the word, reciting the word every day. And so they come to me when I need them. And I know exactly what it is I need to say. Practice, practice, practice.
Got a friend I've been praying with whose daughter's struggling with some of the same things you've struggled with in the past. And what we just do, first, we thank the Lord for the wins, the good things, the life springing up. Then we open our Bibles and we just start to pray the word for this dear girl. And we just feel there is something changing and something happening. And I just said, that's, if I could, ignite a passion for praying the word and praying together. I'm telling you what, it changes everything. We're going to pause here and take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you more about break the book down into three sections. I love it. Enter rest, enter war, enter wild. You're going to unpack those for us. And friends, if you've got questions, you can sure text them in. I want you to know, Carlos, we're getting a lot of amens. Amens. Thank you for this. Preach it, brother. Stuff like that. So what you're saying is profoundly resonating with our dear listeners today. Got a handful of copies of Carlos's amazing book, Enter Wild, to give away. Again, he writes like he speaks, so you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute.
It's been paid by somebody else, and now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt, and loss, its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet, and now I'm walking, walking, walking free.
Had to let that play out a little bit. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Carlos Whitaker today. I love this guy. He's been on a handful of times. Lord willing, we're going to get him back to talk about his other book, Kill the Spider, where he tells a story of his battle with anxiety and depression. This book is just about entering in with wholehearted engagement with God, because, in fact, he says abundance has nothing to do with accumulating things. It has everything to do with accessing the King. And before we get into these three kind of steps, enter rest, enter war, enter wild, I would love to know, when you were battling depression and anxiety, and then you were also in high demand as you are now, but speaking and traveling, so that adds stress when you're, you know, feeling overcommitted. It just triggers so much anxiety. How did things change for you? Were you able to come into a place, a rhythm that was life-giving and sustainable?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that I did have to do things in the natural as well as relying on the supernatural in order to get into that rhythm, right? Like we can pray all we want that the Lord would reduce our anxiety or he would heal us from anxiety. But if we're not sleeping and we are traveling, you know, crazy amounts of times, and we're doing things that aren't benefiting our mental health, then, you know, we also have our free will. And I had to get to a place where I was doing the things that I needed to do in the natural. And so, right, that was exercising, that was eating right, that was taking medicine, that was talking to my counselor, my therapist, all of the things that I was doing on my own in conjunction with the supernatural of, again, praying the promises and not the problems, praise and thanksgiving on a daily basis, you know, reading the word and realizing that my chains were going to break the more that I praised God. Like, praise precedes our miracle. And I knew that my miracle needed to be my freedom from anxiety. And my praise is what kind of the runway that I was able to find that, you know, and speaking here on, I mean, what is it? It's June 2nd, 2022. After 15 years of struggling and battling anxiety and depression, it's been 5 years and I'm completely and totally free. And so, you know, yeah, it can happen. If it happened to me, trust me, if it happened to me, I was on 40 milligrams of Paxil a day for a decade of my life. I'm completely free of all medication. I'm completely free of panic attacks, and the Lord has healed me. And so I know that he wants our full healing. He doesn't just want us to get half a healing. And although half a healing may be all that we experience, I don't believe that's the will of God. I think people have to be careful when they start declaring that the will of God is just for us to get to heaven and find our full healing there. And I'm like, well, what's the point here then? And the point here is it just to struggle. I feel like Jesus came on the cross and he died on a cross, not so that we could cope, but so that we could be more than conquerors. And so, you know, go after that full healing. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But why in the world would we not at least try? So yeah, that's a little bit of that.
Somebody give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen. And like I said, we did a show, we recorded already on the healing and just how one of the best books, most biblical books I've ever read is called Christ the Healer. It's 100 years old. And so I'm just going to give you a sneak peek, friends, because you're
awesome.
A listener. Kevin and I bought 10 copies to give away next week. Just giving you a heads up because we believe so strongly in Jesus' desire to heal. One thing he said in that book, Carlos, is that, you know, it was Jesus' compassion that compelled him to heal people, to deliver people, to address the human condition. And he says, do you think now that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he's less compassionate? He said, absolutely not. He said, the new covenant is much more glorious than the old covenant. He says, he's interceding now for you with intensity and passion. He does want you well. He does want to redeem your life from the pit. So 100% agree. In fact, this is so off the beaten path, but I'm going to ask and I'm going to be bold and vulnerable. But, yes. I've come so far. I'm in the process right now of a miraculous healing from a very long, painful battle. And it's coming in stages. But I'm going to ask, would you just pray for me? Pray for me. Yeah,
I love it because I had already pulled up a prayer that I was going to pray for you at the end of the show once I heard you talk about it. And so I'm just going to do that. And I just want to let you know that and let everybody know that we just continue to pray and we continue to pray. So right now, Father, I come right now and I lift up Susie right now. And we bring Susie under your authority and covering. Thank you for what you've already done, and we ask for continued healing over her, full and complete healing in Jesus' name, over wherever Lyme has landed, her jaw, her head, any of these spaces. We ask that you restore and renew her body back to kingdom order. Thank you that your word says that you came to heal us all. So we bring the full work of the cross, especially the resurrection power over Susie's body. We praise you. Father, I also pray for her husband, for her family right now. I bring the full work across against the enemy and any doubts that may be filling their minds as well. We bind the lies filled with worry in the name of Jesus, and we bring your peace and truth to flood Susie and her family's soul. We bind any words of confusion that the enemy may be whispering and send them to the foot of the cross. We bind in the name of Jesus all fear, guilt, and shame. We break off all judgments spoken on or unspoken against Susie. In the name of Jesus, thank you for healing. It is who you are. So we invite you into Susie's home, her dreams, and every space her spirit, soul, mind, heart, and body and will fills. Fill her today with your presence and heal her completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I just know that we've got others listening with stage 4 diagnoses. And Lord, I pray that exact same prayer. I'm in agreement with what Carlos has prayed, and I extend that out to Sherry and to others who are listening, who are hanging on. Lord, you are the healer. Jesus, you are the healer. By your stripes, we are healed. You sent forth your word to heal us and rescue us from the grave. You were beaten so we could be made whole. You were whipped so we could be healed. The word supports it, Lord, and we believe you for it. We receive it and we walk in it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my brother.
You're
that's
so
shameless,
welcome.
But I just want, like, I just
Let's
going
go.
For it. Let's do it. All
right. If we can't ask a friend to pray for us, what can we do, right?
Come on. Exactly it. Right. Thank you. And thank you, friends. I got so many amens. People are just standing in agreement. It's so beautiful. Okay. Enter rest, enter war, enter wild. Start with rest, if you would.
Let's go. In order to get to wild, in order to get to this space where we are experiencing these miracle signs and wonders, all the things that God has for us, we have to first, like you said at the beginning of the show, lower the volume of life so that the volume of God goes up. And, you know, rest is very difficult these days. You know, we all have these 7 inches of LCD screens in our hands on a daily basis, and we can look at our screen time now, and it can tell us how much or how little rest we're actually getting. And, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, rest, I mean, whoever knew that we would really need a prescription for rest, but I feel like now doctors need to be giving this to us because, you know, rest isn't like just watching movies. You know, I think that rest for me, what I've realized is I need to get back and tap into the desires that God has placed inside of my heart. We all have desires. Everybody has desires. You know, it could be a crocheting. It could be whatever it is that makes your heart just go, ah. For me, it's fly fishing. Like, I love to fly fish and to get out and do that. And so, well, you know, what are those things that God's placed in your heart? How often are you doing them? For most people, their answer is, I mean, man, it's probably been 2 years, 5 years since the last time I went snowmobiling or whatever it is that they love to do. Find time to reconnect your heart to the desires God has placed inside of you. And when you do that, again, you're going to lower the volume of life, and then you're going to be able to hear him even more clearly. So if you feel like you can't hear the voice of God, I'm telling you, the first step is to rest. You look at Exodus 14. We see the Israelites, and we see that they're running from the Egyptian army, and they're hot on their tail. And you've got Moses going like, hey, we're going to head towards the Red Sea, and I promise God's going to split it wide open. Of course, they don't believe that. They're freaking out, and they're crying, and they ask Moses, like, why did you bring us out of desert to, bring us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There were plenty of graves for us in Egypt. We told you in Egypt, leave us alone. We're going to stay in this, serve the Egyptians. Like, can you actually see what they're doing? They're doing the opposite of resting. They're freaking out. They're yelling. They're screaming. And I love what Moses says to them. He says, stand still. That was the answer. Stand still and you will see the Lord save you today. So when they finally stopped complaining, stopped talking, stopped running around looking for whatever they can figure out on their own, and they stood still, what happened? The Lord split the sea wide open and they walked to the promised land. So the question for us is, what area of our life are we looking for to hear the voice of God and to see him move? And take a look at how busy that season or that area of your life is, how much your arms are in the air, you're running around trying to figure it out on your own. And I'd say, well, why don't you give this a shot? Why don't you stand still and see if the Lord speaks to you and leads you when you finally stop talking? And it's so hard for us to stop talking. There's so much coming at us. So that's enter rest.
Pause here. You know, would you say, I've really learned that when you get to a place of overcommitment, your productivity actually goes down, and then your quote unquote downtime becomes actually slothful because you're so tired that you're not, because it takes energy to go fly fishing. It takes energy. Like for me, I feel like I'm flying when I'm on my bike. I just ride my bike.
Yeah.
But when you do the thing that feeds your soul, that does take some initiative and energy. And when you get so exhausted, you don't have the energy to do what's good for you. It's a vicious cycle. And your productivity actually goes down, doesn't it?
It really does, right? I mean, because when, you know, and again, we're not saying that there's not a time to like go to a beach and fall asleep for 5 straight days on the beach. Yes, absolutely. Like go do that. We all need that. But that's not what it doesn't need to be a trade-off where you're just like stressed out beyond capacity and then you're sleeping. Then you're stressed out and then you're sleeping. No, there's an in between, I do feel like, and when you can get excited and have the energy to go do these things, and you know, and again, all of these riding your bike, like how good is that for your mental health? It's so good. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes you feel come alive. And so I promise you that when you tap into some things that may require a little bit of energy, but that God has placed inside your heart, you're gonna start seeing your productivity in your business world and in your, you know, in all the other areas of your life start to go up.
Come on. Amen. All right. Enter war.
Enter war. So once you hear from God, once you begin to hear his voice, what you're going to start to hear is he's going to start to tell you some things that you've got to work on. And, you know, things that you have to work on is a very kind way of saying that you're going to have to go into battle for some things in your life. He's going to start to reveal some things to you that it's like, wow, God, like that happened when I was in like fifth grade. I don't want to have to deal with that. I ignored that. I pushed that away. Here's the thing. When like our five-year-old hearts and the version of who we were when we were five or 15 or even 25, whatever it was, or even 5 days ago. Okay. God has created our hearts to be completely and fully intact all the time. But what happens is, and this is something I talk about in the interwar section, is a lot of times when we go through something difficult or say like we make a mistake ourselves and there's some shame that comes in, what we have a tendency to do is to take a piece of our heart that God created and really throw it away and say, you know what, like that part of my heart is used, that part of my heart is actually disgusting. I used to say things about myself when I went through a pretty dark season in my life. I used to say things, Susie, like, I can't stand that version of me. Like mm-hmm. I don't ever want to see that version of me. Like, and I know what I was trying to say is like, when I was say 30 years old, I made some mistakes that wounded a lot of people in my life. So I don't want to have to look at who I was, but the truth is, who I was back then is actually still who God made me. Like God still loves that version of me. And so what I'm doing, and follow me for your listeners for a second, but when we shame a past version of ourselves for mistakes that we've made, we're actually shaming a part of ourselves that God created and God loves and God still loves. So instead of shaming that part of us, what I help people do in the enter war section is come back into reconciliation with parts of our hearts that we have been shaming for so long. And there's a whole process that I walk people through on, you know, we hear about forgiveness all the time, asking other people to forgive us, asking God to forgive us, but we never talk about forgiving ourselves. And what a lot of people think is that we need to forgive the part of ourselves that we've been shaming, but here's the truth. We actually need to ask the part of ourself that we've been shaming to forgive us. And when that happens, we invite back into our heart holistically the piece that we've been shaming. God heals it. And now we're functioning in a space way healthier, way more holistic than we ever have before because we're put back together again. The process that I use is actually called heart sync. S-Y-N-C, and there's practitioners around the country. It's a form of inner healing prayer that that are available to you, like if you ever want to go through a heart sync session. But that's kind of what I'm talking about. And so the enter war section has a lot to do with forgiveness, has a lot to do with you asking yourself for forgiveness, as weird as that sounds. And then also understanding that, you know, when you finally get the tools that you need in order to fight these battles that the enemy is going to come at you on a daily basis, you're going to have just a lot easier time stepping into the next section, which is wild. But I want to end
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Finish your point. So sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to end the enter war section with, okay, so like, very practically, we've talked about a couple of these things already, okay? The first thing I'd say in the enter war section is look for parts of yourself that you've been shaming. And literally, this isn't like a magic thing. Like you literally close your eyes and imagine yourself sitting next to you and just say, you know what? Will you forgive me for shaming you for so long? Because I know the reason why you made those bad decisions was because you were actually trying to protect me. You're actually doing things to protect my heart. And so I know you weren't doing those things to hurt me or the people around me. So I just ask for your forgiveness. So that's the first thing is ask for forgiveness. The second thing is, again, pray the promise not the problem. Okay, that's a big part of warfare. Making sure that you're finding truths of scripture to replace the lies that you're coming into agreement with. The third thing that I say is make sure that you realize that your help is in the natural and your hope is in the supernatural. Don't flip it,
very
right?
Good. Very
don't
good.
Play, yeah, don't place all that. And then the last thing that I'd say again is make sure that you're putting on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith, and the sword of the spirit. Those are the things that every single day. I know when I was 4 years old, I had a little song that I sang that helped me put it on. Maybe go find a preschool song so you can learn it and put that on every single day.
Well, so good. Is this resonating, friends? You got to text me and tell me if that was a light bulb moment. We got a wow text from somebody. But to me, when you start to notice the places you've been shaming your old self in the story, it's almost like this disconnection with your story. But when you enter in, it shows the miracle of your story. Imagine if you're shaming it, that's a place where the enemy can keep condemning and accusing you. But when you start to invite God's just absolute grace, forgiveness, and redemption, kind of like the Samaritan woman, she didn't have shame when she went back to face the people who she worked so hard to avoid. She's like, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. There was no more shame because she'd been radically transformed by God. What if there's places in your story that God wants you to contend with, to war with, so that you can declare your story? This is my story. This is my song. More with Carlos Whitaker when we return. Having a fantastic conversation with Carlos Whitaker. We're talking about his book, Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. And we're talking about overcommitment, striving in your own strength, really seeking just constantly tangible solutions to your problems before you go towards God for supernatural solutions. All of that puts us into this mode of autopilot, cruise control, exhaustion. And he breaks the book down into three sections. Enter rest. And he says, rest really begets revival. If you lower the volume of life, the volume of God's voice goes up. And then he says, enter war. You know, go after those past parts of your story that you still shame and bring forgiveness there, because that whole story is a story that God is writing. So there should be no shame as you look back over your shoulder. Now, thirdly, enter wild. What say you?
Enter wild. Here's the fun part of our faith. Here's where the Lord is just going to surprise you on a daily basis. And since you have lowered the volume of life, since you have begun to hear the voice of God, since you now walk around with a little bit more of a swagger going like, you know what, enemy? Give me your best shot, because I know that I'm walking in victory already. Like, once those two things, rest and war, are in your arsenal, at that point, now you can start experiencing the abundant goodness and, again, miracles, signs, and wonders of who God is. And it's crazy. Things get wild. You know, I tell people all the time, this one of my favorite stories about helping a friend enter into wild is, he said, Carlos, like, I'm resting and I think I'm hearing the voice of God, but like, I don't know if it's me or if it's God when I ask a question and I'm praying. And I said, well, let's do something wild. Why don't you ask God where we should go to lunch? And he looked at me a little quizzically, like, well, you think God is going to tell me where to go to lunch? Like, normally I ask God for healing or I ask God for these big things. And I was like, well, if God cares about the big things, why in the world would he not in a wild way show up for the little things? So sure enough, my friend Marcus, we pray and he asked the Lord where we should go to lunch. And I asked him, well, what did he say? And he said, well, I don't know. Like, I saw something, but I don't know if it was the Lord. And I always tell people in this, if you want to enter wild, what you can't do is edit Holy Spirit. Like, we have a tendency to edit the voice of God far too often. I said, if you prayed and you saw something, what did you see? And he said, well, I saw that Thai restaurant in Tennessee Titans Stadium parking lot. It's called Thai Phuket. I said, well, let's go. So we go to Thai Phuket, and Susie, let me tell you, Jesus did not appear in the steam of our Thai chicken curry soup. The waiter did not walk out floating like Jesus would have in what, you know, over the Sea of Galilee. It was a normal lunch. Nothing wild happened. But as we were walking out the door and I got in my car and Marcus was getting in his car, this man comes sprinting out of Thai Phuket and he's screaming. And, you know, the guy was a little weird looking. I'll go ahead and admit that. And he, you know, it's some guy yelling at us. And he comes running up and he looks at my friend Marcus and he goes, "You're going to think I'm crazy, but do you sometimes work on your laptop over at that coffee shop called Frothy Monkey?" And Marcus was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "This is so weird. You're going to think I'm crazy. But I was in there 2 weeks ago and I was reading my Bible and you walked in. I remember seeing you and I felt like God told me to pray for you, but I was too chicken because that's weird. So I let you walk out and I've never seen you in my life. But now I'm just sitting in this restaurant sipping on my soup and you came walking in here. And I can't tell you that when you left, the Holy Spirit was like, you can't let him leave twice. So chase him. So I chase you out here. Can I please pray for you?" And we both started dying laughing. Aww. And, you know, Marcus's prayer life has never been the same since because, I mean, wouldn't it just be like God for us to ask him where to go to lunch and then to have some incredible encounter like that? But it's because we've got to learn to ask God very specific and very simple questions. And that is going to be your ticket to wild. Like you just start asking God questions. You start asking God for things. And the wild is when you're going to start seeing him answer.
What I love that so much, but I also love the progression of rest, of war, and then wild, because we move so fast. We move at the speed of sound. And in your book, Kill the Spider, you referenced a study that showed that we are exposed to as much information in a single day that our ancestors were exposed to in an entire lifetime. And so the idea of going, you're not just going to run super fast and God bless me, bless me, bless me, and never hear what he says. You're missing out on wild. And he's God is so much greater than that. But to gear down and to rest and then to get some healing in your story, suddenly you start to get clarity. You're thinking, man, if God can do that in my story, in my past, if it's true that goodness and mercy are actually chasing me down, then I can walk even through the valley of the shadow and know he's with me. I mean, that's I love the progression. It's so powerful. Love it.
Thank you. It's so true. Walk with the swagger. You got it.
Come on. Come on. I'm going to read this from Enter Wild. What if our prayers went from vague to specific, not just when we face problems, but also in peaceful times? Can I tell you what will happen if you do this? Your confidence in God will grow so much that nothing can get in the way. The truth is we don't train for battle while we're in the battle. We train for battle before the battle begins. Say a little bit more about just, you know, the times we're in. I mean, since you have been on the show, we have seen an acceleration in culture. So what are you hearing from people and what are you saying to people?
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, do not stand in fear. Like we are not in a season that God is like surprised by. And our prayers are even more important than ever. You know, like we're in a, you know, as we see culture continue to fall apart, you know, there's just horrible things that are happening on a daily basis. You know, I mean, we've seen shootings happen and there's all kinds of horrible things. You know, the first thing that I would tell Christians that, that maybe have their eyes on culture more than their eyes are on scripture, which is a mistake a lot of us can make, is do not ever even remotely assume that your prayers aren't the most effective thing you can be doing for whatever is happening in our culture right now. So here's the thing that if people follow me on Instagram, they know that I'm a man of action. I fight for justice. I do the things in the natural that I know to do. Like I do the things, I call the people I need to do. I go to do the things, but all of those things are surrounded and wrapped in prayer, surrounded and wrapped in just God's direction and Holy Spirit directing me. Or else I honestly, I'd be lost. You know, I'd be lost as a chicken wandering around my backyard right now. Like without the voice of God, we're literally going to have no direction. And so, you know, yes, as culture's falling apart around us, our prayers are going to be the most important thing, but we have to make sure that that we follow our prayers with guided action from the Holy Spirit, not just on our own.
Well, Carlos, we're hoping and praying we can get you on every other month, every month, as whatever you're available. But we pray to bring you back on a regular basis. So good. Carlos Whitaker, and with so many texts today saying, I love this guy. Thank you. Thank you for today's message. The book is titled Enter Wild. We've got a good 5 copies to give away today. 877-933-2484. Text the word book, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.